So let's exploit this result to build a first method, which is called gradient method, degradient method. And then I will add some additional naming in a bit. So, gradient method takes this suggestion. Since asymptotically the maximum decrease is given by minus the gradient as a direction, dk, we take minus the gradient of f at the current point x. Okay? Now the point is, how do we choose the step size, the corresponding step size? Well, the first idea that comes to your mind is to, let's take the step size which gives us the best result, the best improvement, the maximum decrease of the objective function. So, let's consider f at xk plus some step size t along the direction minus the gradient of f at x. Okay. And we would like what? To choose stk, the value which gives us the minimum of this expression. Okay? That is the best thing that we could do. We have taken minus the, we are moving along at the same direction, and we make the best possible step. Okay? We continue to move along that direction as long as we get better values for the function. Okay? So, if we, so xk is fixed, so also the gradient is fixed, we can consider this as a function of t only, let's say phi k at t, okay? And I will often refer to this as search function. Once the direction is chosen, we try to exploit this search function. So, the best thing we could do is to take tk, which provides the minimum value for the search function over non-negative steps. Okay. We already introduced this notation, but I recall you, this means that phi k at dk is less or equal than phi k at t for all phi greater or equal than 0. Okay. So this is the best thing that we can do. We choose a direction and we move along that direction to the point which provides the best value of the function in that direction. Okay? This is called exact line search. Why line search? Because once the direction is chosen, we have the current point, we have minus the gradient, we are searching a point
along this line, actually this half line. Okay?
This is telling you why we are calling line search. And why exact? Exact because we take the point which provides the minimum value of f on this half line. Okay? So, to complete the name of the algorithm, this is called gradient method with exact line search. We choose minus the gradient of f at the current point as a direction, and we move of a step, which brings us to the best point with respect to f on the whole half line given by the direction. So, I can provide you the full description of the algorithm in the following way. First step, we choose some starting point, arbitrary starting point, okay? And we set k equals 0 is the counter for iterations, okay? Then we make a check. If the gradient at the current point, the gradient of f at the current point xk is 0, we got a stationary point, so we stop. Okay. Otherwise, we compute the step with the exact line search. So we compute tk, which gives the minimum of the search function. Let me write it explicitly. The minimum of f xk, f computed at xk minus t times the gradient of f at xk, over all non-negative step size. T. At this point, we make the move. We move from xk along the direction minus the gradient of f at xk, we step tk. Okay? And we iterate. So we update the counter, k is equal to k plus 1, and we go back to check whether the new point is stationary or not. Okay? Many of the algorithms we will deal with in unconstrained optimization have this form, okay? The two relevant points are given at iteration, at point, at step three, because at step three we choose the direction and we compute the step size. Okay? What I told you at the beginning. Choice of dk and choice of tk. Okay? I guess this is the most famous, the most well-known algorithm for unconstrained optimization. We will see, likely on Tuesday, that has many drawbacks. But first, let's check this is a good algorithm, okay? We did not prove anything about these algorithms. We just had a few ideas and we transformed them into an algorithm. Then we had to see which property the algorithm has, if it converged, which kind of convergence we can get, and so on. Well, first thing is pretty obvious. This is a descent algorithm. Okay? We know that if we move along minus the gradient, we are moving along in the same direction. And we compute the best possible step. So at the new point, the value of the function is less than at the previous point. Okay? This can be easily deduced from what we checked during the previous hour. Okay? This is a descent direction, we take the best step, so we get a better value for the function at the new point. But I want to prove it once again in a different way, okay? Because this gives us tools to prove convergence, to prove an additional property and to prove convergence. Okay? So, let's prove it again, in a different way. So, consider the sequence xk generated by the algorithm. Okay, by the gradient method with exact line search. Then, if xk, let's say some xk, is not a stationary point, f at xk plus 1 is less than f at xk. Why do I suppose it is not a stationary point? Well, because if it is a stationary point, we stop. Okay? So, if we don't stop, we get a better point. It follows from the above proposition, but let's make a different proof. Okay? A proof which is based on the search function. Okay? Well, do you agree with this? If we consider the first search function at zero, we get a value which is greater or equal than the search function at tk. Why? This is the definition of tk. Okay? I take the best possible step. Okay. What is the search function at zero? The search function at zero is f at xk. The search function at tk is f at xk plus 1. Okay. So, we didn't prove it, because we proved that this is greater or equal when we want to prove that it's greater. Okay? So, we want to cancel this. We want to show that it's not possible that they are equal. This proposition I'm canceling is telling you that, but we can check it in a different way, exploiting the search function. Notice that the search function is the composition of two functions, because from T you go, so from R, you take T and then you consider xk minus T times the gradient of f at xk, so you go to Rn, and then you apply f, and you take the value of this point at f. The value of f at this point, sorry. Okay? So the search function is the composition of a function which goes from R to Rn with a function that goes from Rn to R, which is f. Okay? F is continuously differentiable. Of this function from Rn to from R to Rn is a constant value pure linear plus linear function. Okay? Because this is the function that sends t into x1k minus t, the first component of the gradient, and so on. Each one of these is a very good function, okay? It's linear in t, so it has a derivative. We are composing a function which has a derivative, which with a differentiable function, okay? So, by a chain rule I gave you in the very first lectures, this search function has a derivative, okay? And the derivative is given by the composition of the gradient of f with the derivative of all these components. Okay? So if you compute the derivative, go back to the lecture note and check the chain rule. What you get is the gradient of f at the point times or scalar product with the derivative of this function. Well, these are linear. When you take the derivative, t goes away, and so you get the components of the gradient, so you get the gradient. Okay. Check the chain rule and its application to this composition on the lecture notes. We get this. This is the derivative of this function of one variable, okay? I'm really sorry, dear ears, there's a minus, so here we have a minus. You can put it here. Well, this is the tool we need. And I made this proof exactly to have this formula. Okay? We know how the derivative of the search function is done. Okay. Now, let's compute the derivative at zero. What is this? Zero. Here you have the gradient of f at xk, and here you have the same thing, okay? So you have the scalar product of the gradient with itself, plus a minus, so the derivative is minus the square of the norm of the gradient of f at xk, which is negative, okay? The derivative of the search function of zero is negative. Well, what do you know when the derivative of a function of one variable is negative at one point? You know that then the function is decreasing, at least for a little while. Okay. So,
since this is negative, the function is decreasing in the sense that the value at some point t is less than the value at zero whenever t is small enough. So there are points at which the search function has a lower value than at zero. Okay. So can we have equal here or not? Remember how we have chosen tk. Tk gives the minimum value of the search function. So since at some point it is less than it is at zero, clearly at tk the search function has a value which is less than its value of zero. Okay? And this is, as we have shown earlier, this is f at xk plus 1, and this is f at xk. So we prove that here we don't have greater or equal. We have greater. Okay? You take the search function, you compute its derivative, it is negative at zero, so the function is decreasing at least for a little while, so you get strict inequality here. Okay. Notice that it is extremely relevant that we have chosen the best t for tk. Okay. Otherwise, this does not work. Well, this gives us the tool to prove an additional property of the gradient method with exact search, and this property will allow us to prove convergence in one single line. Okay? And the property is the following. Take two iterations, two consecutive iterations. In the first iteration, the direction is the gradient of f at xk up to the sign, okay? It's minus there. And at the next iteration, the direction is the gradient of f at xk plus 1 up to the sign, okay? Well, what I'm stating is that these two directions are orthogonal. Okay? I'm stating that if you take two consecutive directions, they are orthogonal. The angle they form is 90 degrees. Okay? At each iteration. So, if we want to write it as a proposition, you write it in the same way of the previous one. Let xk be the sequence generated by the algorithms. Then, if xk is not a stationary point, then at the next iteration you move along a direction which is orthogonal to the direction you have already moved at. Okay? How do we prove this? Actually, the proof is easy. The proof is here. Okay? Okay. We have shown that tk is not zero. Tk is positive. Okay? As a byproduct of this proof, we have
It's not what we want him to prove, but we also have that TK is positive. Okay. Well, so you are saying that the points which minimizes the assert function is greater than zero. Okay. So, you know, that your function takes some value at zero. So let's draw the picture of the search function. Okay. As some value is zero, then decreases, then does something, I don't know what it does, but at some point it gets the minimum value. Okay. The point is that the minimum value is not here. Okay? It's somewhere here. What about the derivative of the search function at the minimum point? It has to be zero, like unconstrained minimization. Okay? Okay. Let's take it this way. You just consider a neighborhood, okay, here an interdot in this case, around the point. You stay away from the border, okay, and you consider optimality here. It's like considering unconstrained optimality, okay, local unconstrained meaning optimality. So the gradient is zero. In this situation, since we are in one variable, the derivative is zero. Okay. And what is the derivative? Let's see. The derivative is minus. Here we have to replace t with tk. So we have xk plus 1. And here we have the gradient of f at xk. So, the property is proved. Is that the optimality condition for the search, for the search problem? And now we can prove the convergent result just exploiting this. We don't need this proof anymore. And the result is pretty weak. What we can prove is not very satisfactory. We can prove the following convergent theorem. Okay? Well, clearly, if the algorithm stops, you don't have anything to prove. You got the stationary point. Okay? So let's suppose the algorithm generates an infinite sequence. Okay? So suppose the gradient method with exact line search generates an infinite sequence xk. Okay? What we can prove is the following. If the sequence converges to some x bar, then x bar is a stationary point of f. Okay. Oh, the proof is extremely easy. Because we just apply this property. We know that the scalar product between the gradient at xk plus 1 and the gradient at fxk is always zero. Okay? The gradient is a continuous function. Because at the beginning I told you, let's suppose that f is continuously differentiable. It means that all derivatives are continuous functions. Which is the limit of xk? The limit of xk by assumption is x bar. What is the limit of xk plus 1? It's exactly the same sequence, okay, translated by 1. So it is x bar. So this goes to x bar, this goes to x bar. The functions are continuous, the scalar product is continuous, so the limit is the scalar product of the gradient of f at x bar with itself. The sequence is always zero. This is the limit. So this is zero too. Okay? But as we remember in the previous hour, the scalar product of a vector with itself is the square of its norm. Okay? So we prove that the gradient at x bar has norm zero. That means it is the zero vector. So the proof is aligned. Okay? So this looks nice, but, I mean, the proof looks nice, but the result is bad. The result is bad because we have this assumption. This assumption is telling us if the algorithm converges to some point, then the point is the right one. Okay. But we have absolutely no guarantee that this assumption is satisfied. So we absolutely have no guarantee that the algorithm goes to some x bar. Okay? You cannot prove it. Well, a few reasons. For instance, if you take a function which goes to minus infinity with no stationary point, okay, there's no way you can get this, because no point like this exists. Okay? But stationary points exist, you're not guaranteed that the sequence converges. Actually, with some efforts, okay, you could also prove the weaker result. The weaker result I told you at the beginning of the lecture, it has, actually you can prove that each cluster point of the sequence generated by the algorithm is a stationary point. Okay? The proof is a bit long, a bit involved. I will not show you, at the moment it is not even in the lecture notes, because we will be having better results than this, okay? For better algorithms. But please remember, you can prove a better result than this, okay? Each cluster point, is a stationary point. But the proof is not a line, it's a couple of pages. Okay? Because you cannot use this property. Because this property links an iteration with the next one. Okay? K with K plus 1. Okay? When you take a subsequence, the next point in the subsequence is not necessarily the next point in the original sequence. Okay? course. This is the sequence. This is a this is the beginning of a subsequence, for instance. Okay? So here you have k and here you have k plus 1. But if you consider the subsequence, the next point is this one. Okay? And you don't have this property anymore. So you need a bit of machinery to prove the other result. Okay, the algorithms have some heavy drawbacks. On Tuesday, I will show you also some computer simulation of very simple two-dimensional examples. Okay. Let's discuss some of these heavy drawbacks. Well, one mainly, which is step three of the algorithm, or equivalently, this. Okay. Exact line search means solving an optimization problem. Okay. Our goal is to solve an optimization problem here at step three. So at each iteration of the algorithm, we are asking to solve another optimization problem. What's the advantage of this problem with respect to the original one? Well, the advantage is that you have just one variable. Okay, so you have to solve a one-dimensional optimization problem. Okay, which is not as hard as the original problem, but it might be computationally expensive. Okay, and then actually, when you solve an optimization problem, since you cannot generate an infinite sequence, at some time you have to stop. Okay? And you stop with an approximate solution. And so you don't do the real exact line search. You can do it on the blackboard while you are doing mathematics, but generally you can't. Even in our algorithm, I should have told you, well, when we discuss convergence, we say things like this. The algorithm generates an infinite sequence. When you have to practically solve a problem, you have to stop after some iterations. So you approximate the optimality condition. One way to do this is to ask for the norm of the gradient. It should be zero. You cannot ask it to be zero. You ask it to be less or equal than some threshold, okay? Than some value. Given this given threshold. And the same applies also for one-dimensional problems, okay? So, practically, you can never do the exact line search. It's theoretical. Okay? So this is one drawback, first drawback. Truth is that in some cases, you can actually compute this exactly. Okay? So last 5 minutes of the lecture will be devoted to a case in which we can compute the exact line search through a formula. Okay? I can tell you how TK is done by a formula. Okay? So you don't have to solve an optimization problem. Because we can solve the optimization problem on paper. Okay? And as you might have guessed, the case is the case of quadratic functions. So, let's consider a quadratic function.
function. So f is 1 half x transposed qx plus b transposed x plus some c, where q is a symmetric n times n matrix, b is a vector in Rn, and c is a number. C is irrelevant because it's a constant value.
And we could also skip it.
When we discussed optimality condition, we learned that if the quadratic function is not convex, it has no local minima and no local maxima. Okay? So let's suppose also that this function is convex, and which means that q is how? Do you remember? Quadratic function is convex if and only if the matrix q is positive semi-definite. Well, we could write the search function. Let me say with no k, phi at t is f computed at x minus t times the gradient of f at x. Okay? Well, on my lecture notes, which are online, you can find the full computation. Okay? I give you the idea. Well, you can compute this. You can replace here x with this expression. Okay? X and f are fixed. What changes is t. Which kind of function of t you will get? Here you have t1s, here you have t1s, here you have t1s, okay? And here you make the product. So you will have p squared, okay? What you get is a parabola, okay? As a function of t, you get a parabola. Or if you like best, is a second degree polynomial in T. Okay. Well, you have learned how to compute the minimum of a parabola in high school, okay? You get it at the if the parabola is done this way, it is the vertex, okay? If the parabola is done this way, no minimum, okay? So, I could stop here and tell you, okay, it's a parabola, so you can compute it explicitly, okay? Another way you can do it is, I erased it. We also learn how the derivative of the search function is done in general. It's the gradient of, it's minus the gradient of f at the new point times the scalar product with the gradient of the original point. Okay? And we also know that this has to be zero, okay, at the point. And we also know that the gradient of the quadratic function is what? Okay, if you remember, is qx plus p. Okay. So we have many tools we can do. We can write phi of t and check Which is the vertex of the parabola?
Well, you have to check two things. If is this kind of parabola or if it is this kind of parabola. And you will find that both cases can occur. And if it's this case, you can compute explicitly the vertex of the parabola.
Okay?
So I'm not making the computation because it's late, because it's boring. I just give you the result, which you can check on the lecture notes. And the result is the following. If this happens, okay, the parabola has this form. Or, if you like best, the derivative is a constant function. So, when you take t that goes to minus infinity, the function goes to minus infinity. Okay? So, if this occurs, if this happens, f is unbounded by below. Well, there's a situation in which this cannot happen. We know that q is positive semi-definite, okay? But if q is positive definite, this cannot happen, okay? On the contrary, if you get that this product is positive, okay? You can compute the parabola as this form, you can compute the vertex of the parabola, or you can compute the point at which the derivative is zero, the way you like, the approach you like best, and t will be, is there a, no, no minus, is the scalar product of f, of the gradient of f at x with itself divided by the gradient of f transpose q the gradient of f of x. Okay? So, if you are dealing with a quadratic convex function, you have a simple rule for the step size. You compute this value. You know how to compute the gradient, so it's easy to compute that value. If it is zero, well, stop. F is unbounded by below. If it is positive, you have the formula for the exact line, for the exact line search. Okay. So, in that case, you can actually do the exact line search with no effort. Okay? But for more general function than quadratic convex function, you don't have a formula. Okay, I'll stop here. It's 1 o'clock, and actually, next lecture I will start giving you a nice example, because actually when you're dealing with quadratics, strictly convex function, we have a finite gradient method. We have a way to choose the steps in such a way that you find the stationary points in a finite number of iterations. Okay, so next meeting is on Tuesday.